This Saturday, a group of writers, educators, and artists will tell personal stories about social injustice in front of an audience at Fresno State. It's called Storytelling for Change, and it's part of a larger effort to get people talking about present-day civil liberties struggles and how they connect to the Japanese-American incarceration during World War II. I recently spoke with Bryn Saito and Nikiko Masamoto, the architects of the Yonsei Memory Project. Let's start by having you briefly introduce yourselves.
Sure. My name is Bryn Saito, and I recently joined the faculty, the English department at Fresno State. So I teach there, and I'm also a poet and a writer.
And my name is Nikiko Masamoto. I'm an organic farmer out in Del Rey in the Valley, and I'm also an artist.
Wonderful. Tell us, how did Storytelling for Change come about?
Yeah, so we started Storytelling for Change last fall. I think both of us are interested in storytelling and the power of stories. And we've seen that stories can be very transformative and healing for communities. So we wanted to get a bunch of wonderful, diverse folks together to learn how to tell powerful stories and perform them.
And performing them is very different from writing a story. It's a whole different medium. Can you give us an example, Nikiko, of how you take a memory and turn it into storytelling?
Yeah, Bryn and I designed a series of workshops to help community members. So our fellows are everyone from Reedley College and Fresno State students all the way up to 80-year-olds in our Japanese American community. So we designed this series of workshops so that anyone coming into storytelling could be able to learn some tools to craft a story. So some of those exercises look like thinking about approaching storytelling for performance through a narrative of three arcs. One, we talked about the arrival moment. So opening up your story with a single moment that helps the audience place themselves. And one of the differences we discussed, Bryn is an accomplished writer, and one of the differences between, I think, designing a story for live performance versus the page is that you actually don't need to give the full scope of detail of the arrival moment. You just need enough to place the audience with you. We use the metaphor of building a house. You don't actually need to fill in the entire house. You just need to provide the frame. So after the arrival moment, we taught our storytellers to choose or design a moment of change or choice in their story, whether it was their own change or choice or someone, another character, another person in their story. And then finally, inviting them to close with some type of reflection, which didn't have to be a perfect summation of anything that happened, but definitely like a landing point where the audience could breathe and exhale and bring a message out of the story.
And you call it the Yonsei Memory Project. Can you explain to the audience what that means?
Yes. So Yonsei means fourth generation Japanese American, and Nikiko and I are both Yonsei. So the Issei was the first generation that came over from Japan. The Nisei were born here, Sansei third, and then Yonsei fourth generation. And so we came together a couple years ago, I think, realizing there was a lot of sort of generational shift happening in our community. A lot of the Nisei who were incarcerated they're getting older, they're passing on. And we, as Yonsei, were thinking, wow, how do we really start to carry the memories forward of that experience and also begin to connect it to current civil liberties struggles?
Right. And when you say incarcerated, you mean during World War II?
Yeah. So the Nisei were incarcerated, imprisoned in the internment camps as part of the kind of West Coast evacuation of over 120,000 Japanese Americans after Pearl Harbor happened.
So, Nikiko, I know that you're trying to link in some ways the injustice of that to people's experiences in terms of civil liberties struggles now. Can you give me an example of someone's story that the audience will hear?
Well, immediately, two of our storytellers are Nisei, so they're talking about their memory of suffering through racism during World War II and actually after World War II. And in their stories, they make really explicit linkages to language, rhetoric, and policy that are alive and well, unfortunately, today. The use of executive order, once again, to create policy that is xenophobically motivated. Right now, it's so painful to hear the discussions of citizenship questions on the census, because we know historically Census Bureau data was used to design the maps that imprisoned our families. So these connections are made by the storytellers themselves. The diversity of our storytellers is incredible. There's a white man who's a storyteller who talks about his perspective as someone outraged by racism and what his positionality is, specifically in relationship to the border. And it's a really, really poignant example of the type of conversations that can unfold when stories are allowed to take their full scope.
And there were 14 people who participated in Storytelling for Change, and 11 of them will be performing February 9th at Fresno State at Madden Library. Bryn, is there a particular story that really moved you?
You know, I was thinking about one of our younger storytellers, who's a Fresno State student, Noemi, and not so much her story, which is incredibly powerful and really about a sort of a young woman of color coming into her own, finding her voice, but something she shared afterwards about the fellowship, about how her experience in the fellowship, learning in this intergenerational setting, learning these tools, learning to put stories at the center of her life, helped her communicate better with her family. And with her peers, like she found herself sitting at dinner and asking her family about their stories. She said she learned to be brave enough to start to ask questions and just be curious about everybody's story that was around her. So that was such a beautiful moment for us, I think, as the facilitators, to see the ways in which these skills are growing and these students and fellows we've worked with are carrying these skills into their communities.
Because, of course, that's one of your missions, right, is to get people to connect with each other through story. It was originally slated for last fall, this project, Storytelling for Change, but it was canceled due to vandalism at the original venue, the Fresno Soap Company. That must have been an awful experience, because the people who are telling these stories are already vulnerable. And then to have that happen right before the show was about to go on, what was your reaction to that? How did you feel?
At first, I think we were all shocked. And once we kind of leaned into understanding what really had transpired just 48 hours before we were supposed to open our performance, we relied on our storytelling skills. And we gathered our fellows in Bryn's apartment, and mm-hmm. we just spent hours making space for us to talk about what this experience was like. And Bryn and I, as facilitators and co-directors of Yonsei Memory Project, we didn't make the decision to restage the performances. The fellows did as a group. And we asked them openly, you know, with this, the reality of this world and right here in Fresno, this vandalism that all of a sudden injected itself into our lives, what would you like to do? What would make you feel the most meaningful, the safest? And everyone in one choral, beautiful moment said, we must tell our stories.
That's wonderful. Bryn, let me ask you one more question. What does storytelling do for communities, especially this kind of performative storytelling?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly powerful and healing to hear these, have these stories be surfaced, have them be told. There are community members, family members who will come and sit there in the audience and hear some of these stories for the first time. And there is sort of an intergenerational healing, I think, that happens through that. We've seen that with our work in Yonsei Memory Project. Part of this project was inspired by the storytelling we did within the Japanese American community in intergenerational settings. And we saw the ways in which some of these stories that had never been told after camp were finally told and surfaced, and the younger folks could hear the stories. And there was a lot of just release and healing that happened from that process. So we're seeing the same things happening, I think, with Storytelling for Change.
I think that's a good point. I mean, a lot of people just don't know what their parents or grandparents experienced. Mm-hmm. And until you start telling stories, you can't know. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Bryn and Nikiko. Again, the Yonsei Memory Project Storytelling for Change will take place February 9th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Fresno State's Henry Madden Library. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us.